Chapter 2. Arecibo Radio Telescope, Puerto Rico. February 2019.
Jimmy, I just heard they assigned you a vulture,
Peggy Soong whispered, and the first step toward the mission to Rakat was taken.
Are you going to cooperate?
Jimmy Quinn continued to move down the line of vending machines, selecting a rose con pollo, a container of bean soup, and two tuna sandwiches. He was absurdly tall, finally done growing at 26 but not really filled out yet, and constantly hungry. He stopped to pick up two packets of milk and a couple of desserts and checked his debit total.
You cooperate. It's that much harder for the rest of us, Peggy said. You saw what happened to Jeff.
Jimmy went to a table that had only one open seat and set his tray down. Peggy Soong stood behind him and glared at the woman sitting opposite Quinn. The woman decided she was done with lunch. Peggy moved around the table and sat in the still warm chair. For a while, she simply watched Jimmy fork in piles of rice and chicken, still amazed by the sheer volume of food he needed. Her grocery bill had gone down by 75% since she threw him out.
Jimmy, she said finally, you can't duck this. If you're not for us, you're against us.
She was still whispering, but her voice was not gentle.
If nobody cooperates, they can't fire us all.
Jimmy met her eyes, his gaze blue and placid, hers black and challenging. I don't know, Peggy. I think they could probably replace the whole staff in a couple of weeks. I know a guy from Peru who'd take my job for half what I'm making. Jeff got a good recommendation when he left.
And he's still out of work, because he gave the vulture everything he had.
Well, it won't be my decision, Peggy. You know that.
Bullshit!
Several people looked up. She leaned toward him from across the table, whispering again,
You are not a puppet. Everybody knows you've helped Jeff since he got sacked, but the whole point here is to stop them from sucking us dry, not to minister to the victims after the fact. How many times do I have to explain it?
Peggy Soong sat back abruptly and looked away, trying to make sense of people who couldn't see the system reducing them to bits.
All Jimmy understood was work hard, don't make trouble. And what would it get him? Screwed is what it would get him.
It will be your decision to cooperate with the vulture, she said flatly. They can give you the order, but you have to decide whether to follow it. Rising, she gathered her things from the table and stared down at him a moment longer. Then she turned her back on him and walked toward the door. Peggy. Jimmy got up, came close enough to reach down and touch her lightly on the shoulder. He was not handsome. The nose was too long and no particular shape, the eyes too close together and set deep as a monkey's, the semicircle smile and the red curling hair like scribbles in a child's drawing. For a few months, the aggregate had charmed her senseless.
Peggy, give me a chance, okay? Let me see if there's a way so everybody wins. Things don't have to be one way or the other.
Sure, Jimmy, she said. He was a nice kid. Dumber than rice, but nice. Peggy looked at his earnest, open, homely face and knew that he would find some plausible, contemptible rationale for being a good boy.
Sure, Jim, you do that.